Well, we have come to the end of this series that we've been in the last few weeks on biblical generosity and giving, and we have really been building a foundation for what that looks like. Last week, we talked about the motivation behind all of it, the why behind our giving and our generosity, and today we're landing the plane, and it's going to be a pretty rapid descent. I'm going to try hard not to crash it, but keep your seat upright and your trays locked and buckle up, and we'll land this thing. We'll land this thing okay. But today we're going to get practical. We are going to talk about what this looks like in our everyday lives and explore what some next right steps might be for you. And if you notice, if you're taking notes, that's the title of the sermon, Next Right Steps. And we'll just be honest about this. This is the sermon in the series that people have been expecting would come. And some of you, you're like, you've been looking forward to this because you're the type of person that says, just tell me what to do. Others are like, I was hoping we wouldn't get to this. I was hoping there wouldn't be an ask. But wherever you land on this, I want you to hear my heart one more time. My intention has not been and is never in anything that we deal with. It's not to guilt. It's not to manipulate. It's my desires for all of us to listen to God, to hear what he has to say to us, and to find whatever next right step forward he has in whatever area of our life it is that he has for us to take. I just want to clear the path a little bit for all of us, you know, regardless of where we are on our journey. So let me just put this on the table and say, here is what I am not going to do today. I am not going to tell you that if you don't give a certain amount or at all to the church, you're somehow not a real Christian. I'm also not going to tell you that if you do give a certain amount to the church, God is going to make you rich, or that we're going to put you on a pedestal. What we are going to do is we're going to see what the Bible has to say, including some practical steps for different life situations, and then we're going to have an invitation to make a commitment to grow in our generosity, because the fact of the matter is, generosity is a journey, not a destination. None of us have this. The most generous person in the world, they're still figuring this out. We're still all growing. We're all taking next steps. And so whatever your next step might be, my prayer today is that you'll get some clarity on what that is and then some courage to take it. So that's what we're going to talk about. So let's pray, and then we'll jump right in. Father, we pause and we acknowledge that everything that we have is from you. Our resources, our income, our stuff, our very lives, it is all a gift. And as we talk about this grace of generosity and these how-tos of giving, would you just meet each of us where we are? Would you show us the next right step that you have for us to take? And then would you give us the courage to obey whatever it is that you call us to do? We're all in different places. We're all in different seasons of our lives, and you know that. So would you meet us where we are and help all of us take one step forward? I pray that you would guard my words, that they would be full of grace, and that we would go forward trusting and loving you more. We love you and we pray these things in your name. Amen. So let's just rip the Band-Aid off right away and just ask the question. Okay, Pastor, how much am I supposed to give? Let me answer that with an easy answer. I don't know. Let me give another biblical answer, though. If we're coming at this from a biblical perspective, I would say that the place to start is with a tithe. Now, some of you are familiar with that word, you know what it means. You've heard that word your entire life. For those of you who are not familiar with that word, tithe just means a tenth, 10%. And all through Scripture, particularly the Old Testament, God's people were called to and instructed to give 10%, the top 10% of what they earn, of what they make, whether it's money, their grain, livestock. It was 10% that came off the top. That was called the principle of the first fruits. We were to give God the best of what we have. And the most well-known passage that talks about this comes from the Old Testament, right at the end, out of Malachi chapter 3. And this is what it says. And these are some strong words, but let's get through them and then we'll unpack them. This is God speaking through the prophet. He says, "Should people cheat God? Yet you have cheated me. But you ask, what do you mean? When did we ever cheat you? You have cheated me of the tithes and offerings due to me. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse so there will be enough food in my temple. If you do, says the Lord of heaven's armies, I will open the windows of heaven for you. I will pour out a blessing so great you won't have enough room to take it in. Try it. Put me to the test." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Those are some strong words in that passage. God comes, he just comes right out and says, when we don't give that first part, we are cheating him. But really, it goes deeper than that, because if you read the entire passage, it's not just that we're cheating God. In a sense, we end up cheating ourselves. Because look at that promise that he gives. If we do that, if we are intentional about giving him the best of what we have, he says, I'm going to open the windows of heaven and I'm going to pour out a blessing so great you won't have room to take it in. And if that's not incredible enough, what he says now is even more, next is even more remarkable, and it's the only time he says something like this in Scripture. He says, if you don't think I'll do it, try me. Put me to the test on this. He's inviting us to test this promise. Now, I know the question that's popping up in some people's minds is, but Pastor, this is the Old Testament. These people were under the law. Are Christians still required to tithe? Now, I would say require, that's a strong word. And I think we addressed it a little bit last week, and when we talked about our giving should be based and should be motivated by our love and understanding what God has done for us. But I think there's a principle here that we need to examine. Over and over in the Old Testament, we see commands. For instance, this is a pretty heavy command. This is a big one. Do not murder. Now, is it okay now for us, since we're not under law anymore, is it okay for us to murder? No. In fact, Jesus even takes that deeper in his famous statements. You have heard it said, but I say to you, if you say this to your brother, you're guilty of murdering him already. So there's a principle that underlies all of these, and I think the same thing applies with giving. The principle behind the tithe that we honor God with the first and best of what he has given us, that's a timeless principle. So for giving, here's how I've come to think about this. In terms of our generosity, in terms of giving back to God, of what we should return to him, tithing is the floor, not the ceiling. It's a starting point, not the finish line. In fact, I would go so far as to gently argue that those of us who live on this side of the cross, who live on this side of the resurrection, who have the Holy Spirit, we are the recipients of all of the promises that God gave in the Old Testament. Those of us, we should, in a sense, be even more generous. If they gave that based on what they had received and the blessings they received from God, shouldn't we be at least that generous based on the greater blessings that we have in Christ? So here's where I land on this. The tithe is a biblical principle that really should be considered a starting point. It's not legalism. It's wisdom. It's not about earning God's favor. It's about honoring God with the first portion of what he has given us. And to be super practical again, when we're talking about the tithe, and we've talked about this, but I'm not going to try to double speak you or anything. When we're talking about the tithe, we're talking about 10% of our monetary income off the top, not what's left over when everything's taken care of and all of our comforts are met. Again, this is the principle of the first fruits. Now, right now, some of you hear that and you think to yourself, okay, 10%, that doesn't sound too bad because that means I get to keep 90% of what God has given me. And there's truth to that, but we're still responsible to steward that well. But you're thinking that's doable. Some of you hear that 10% and the first thing in your mind is, you have got to be kidding me. I can hardly take care of what I have now. Can I just say, I hear both of you, and let me just say this. If 10% feels doable, and maybe that's something you're, I know there's all sorts of you that are already doing that. Can I encourage you? Don't stop there. As God blesses you, and again, this should apply to every area of our life. As we grow, our question for God should always be, what's next? I'm a big fan of the West Wing. That was President Bartlett. That was something that he always said. What's next? He was usually in a gruff manner when he was tired of dealing with the previous thing. But we should always be asking God, what's the next step you're calling me to take? And for some of you, that might mean moving into the realm of something that we haven't even really talked about in this series and won't deal with, but the area of sacrificial giving. If you're part of that group that hears that 10% and you think, man, that just feels impossible, I want you to hear me. Start where you are. Maybe you can't do 10%, but I would bet you can do something. 2%. 2% is still milk, right? It's something. Start, and then as God provides, again, God has invited us. Put me to the test in this. Trust me. As you grow, as God blesses, then you can grow. Here's what I don't want to see happen. I don't want somebody to let, I can't give 10% to be an excuse for, I'm not going to give anything. Or somebody who's giving 10% to say, well, I'm already given 10%, I shouldn't have to do any more. I'm not telling you that you have to do anything. We're talking about the Word of God. So my challenge is, if you're not tithing, would you consider starting? And if you are, would you consider what that might look like to go beyond that? What is your next right step? Now, Paul had some things to say about this. We already talked about him addressing the church, the Corinthian church in 1 and 2 Corinthians. This was a church, really, by all accounts, in many areas, was a mess. This was one of those areas that they actually did fairly well in. And in 1 Corinthians 16, he says this. Now, regarding your question about the money being collected for God's people in Jerusalem, on the first day of each week, you should put aside a portion of the money you have earned. Don't wait till I get there and then try to collect it all at once. Now, this money that he's talking about here, to give you the exact context, the church in Jerusalem was going through a pretty rough time. They were under heavy persecution. There was a famine going on. There were all sorts of issues. And there was an offering that was being organized and collected among the churches to be sent back to the church in Jerusalem. And this is what he's referring to. And he's giving the believers in the Corinthian church, as well as, he makes a reference, these are the same instructions I gave to the Galatian church. So this wasn't a one-off thing he was giving. This was kind of his general way of approaching this. He's giving them practical instructions on how to prepare and plan for this so that when whoever comes to collect it, it won't be a burden on anyone, including the people who are giving. He's teaching them principles of systematic, intentional giving. And I think it's important to point out that he's doing it in the context of helping other believers in need. This isn't an offering that's being collected to build the temple or to support church programs. That's an important thing to point out. It's about caring for suffering brothers and sisters. And yet I do think that the principles he lays out here really could apply to all of our giving, not just special offerings and special cases. And notice there are three things he says here about our giving. Our giving should be, and these are maybe a little bit repetitive from last week, but Our giving should be regular. On the first day of each week, he says, not just when you feel like it or not just when you have a little bit extra, regularly, consistently. If Paul was writing this letter nowadays, he might have even encouraged them to automate it. We have online giving, and you can actually automate your giving and make an intentional plan to set that aside. I don't know that Paul would encourage them to do that, but I'd like to think he would. It just ensures that you are honoring God with the first fruits, not the leftovers. Second, our giving should be proportional. Give a portion of the money you have earned. Every time I hear that, I hear these words because this is how I learned it, in keeping with your income. The giving that the Bible calls us to is based on what we earn. And so this is one of the reasons I think the tithe is such a powerful principle and really, by all accounts, fair. Because it doesn't matter if you earn $300, $3,000, or $300,000, God still calls us as a baseline to commit 10% to Him. He may call others to go over and above that, but really He calls all of us to at least be willing to give that to Him. It's about the percentage. I think I've heard it said, it's not all equal gift, but it is equal sacrifice. And third, and this is kind of repeating the first one, it should be planned. Put it aside. Don't wait. In other words, Paul is saying, plan for it. Be intentional. Make it a part of your budget. The interesting thing about that is, and this applies to other areas too, our time, things like that. You'd be surprised when you sit down and actually budget it out to make things fit certain places, you'll be surprised at how much you have to work with. So sit down, plan it, budget. It's not rocket science. It's just biblical wisdom. Regular, proportional, and planned giving. And apparently, it's something that the Corinthian church did well, at least at one point. In 2 Corinthians 8, Paul comes back and he addresses this again, and he's kind of bragging about how well all these other churches have been doing in their generosity and giving. And then he says to the Corinthians, he says, you know, you guys excel in so many ways. In your faith, your gifted speakers, your knowledge, your enthusiasm. If you know anything about Paul and his letter to the Corinthians, I think there's a little bit of sarcasm in there, because those are some of the things he had the most critical things to say about. But he says, you know, you guys, you excel in all these other things. I tell you what, how about you excel in this gracious act of giving? In fact, last year, you did just that. You were the first ones to line up to give to the church in Jerusalem, and you did that. Now keep it up. Keep growing. Keep moving forward. And so the principle there is generosity is something that we should increasingly excel in. And this isn't all about numbers. Sometimes it's about motivation. We talked about cheerful giving. Sometimes increasingly excelling is in our attitude and in our motivation as to why we do this. It's like a muscle that you grow. Just like we grow in faith, we are to grow in our generosity, which means wherever you are in this journey, you're not done. There's always a next step. Maybe you're just starting. Great. Don't stay there. As we talk about, you know, if you, when we're born again, that is a wonderful step. But we don't want to stay at that birth. We don't want to stay at that birth age. We want to grow and mature. We want that to happen in every area of our lives. The question isn't, have I arrived? The question is, am I growing? So how do we grow? Well, simple ways to do this. One is to maybe pray about increasing your giving a small percentage over the next year, over a period of time. We're coming into the holiday season, Christmas bonuses, end of the year bonuses. Maybe God is calling you to give a portion of that or to tithe on that. Look for specific needs to give to sacrificially. This could be things that aren't, they might be things that aren't attached to this church at all. Something that you see out in the community. The Salvation Army is always in need of resources. There's wonderful organizations that we can support that are in need. Maybe God is calling you to do that. Maybe it's growing as a family. You know, if you're a married couple and you have money issues and disagreements, maybe it's because you're not trusting God as a couple with the first things that He gives you. Maybe that's something that you need to grow in and work through. Get your kids involved. This is a wonderful way to get your kids understanding the blessings that God has given them and how we can give back to Him. The key is to just take a next right step. And what you find is that people who grow in generosity over time, the more they give, I think the more they want to give because they realize, man, this really connects me with the heart of God. I look like my Father when I do this. I'm partnering with Him in His work in the world. And since we're being practical, let me just talk to a few different groups in the room now. The first group is, I'll just put this one out there. You are the ones, this is something that you do. This is something you've built into the regular rhythm of your worship, your Christian life, and thank you for your obedience. Thank you for your generosity. Thank you for understanding and taking those steps. But again, we should always be looking at, okay, God, how can I grow in this area? How can I be more of a generous in feeling the generosity in my heart? How can I look more like you when I do this? So if that's you, thank you. The rest of these kind of groups I want to address are maybe giving is something that you've struggled with. It's a hit and miss thing. You do it when you think about it. Maybe it's an area where you just haven't felt compelled. It's nothing that God's ever dealt with you on. And I think in each of these cases, there's probably at least one person or multiple ones in the room who will identify with where these are. First, if you are in a financial crisis, you're either in debt or you're struggling. I want you to hear me. God is not asking you to give something you do not have. Your first step is to get healthy. It's to look for help. And then as you do that, give what you can. Even if it's small, the two coins that the widow gave, that was like a fortune that she gave because she gave it in faith. She gave it trusting God. So focus on getting financially healthy. If you're living paycheck to paycheck, you're making it, but barely. Your next step might be to start, to create a budget, to plan to give something regularly, even if it's small, even if it's 2 or 3%. And here's, if you're wondering where you're going to find that, here's what I want to encourage you to do. We all have these. I have way too many of these. We all have unnecessary expenses. I became aware of a situation not too long ago. Nobody connected with this church, but somebody that I know. Who was having, they're having financial issues and they were asking a mutual friend of ours for money. And come to find out, this person has $125 a month of streaming services. I love TV. I love binge watching shows. Nobody needs $125 of streaming services a month. Especially somebody who can't pay their bills. That's just wisdom. That's not even biblical wisdom. That's just common sense. Couple that with faith and say, God, I'm going to trust you. I'm going to let go of these things that I've come to seek comfort in. I'm going to trust you that you're going to replace that comfort and fill me. And so I'm going to rearrange. I'm going to look for ways that I'm going to pay my bills, but I also want to be able to commit the first and best that I have to you. Little adjustments can make a huge difference. If you're financially stable or financially blessed, your bills are paid, you're saving, you have margin, you might even have significant income or savings, if you're not already, that next step is to tithe. To reach for that 10% make the commitment to give 10% regularly and consistently. And then again, ask that question, what's next? What might this look like for me to go beyond that as God blesses? If you are retired or on a fixed income, give what you can. But here's the thing. If you're in that stage of your life, you're in that season of life, you have so much to offer. Your wisdom, your time. Generosity is not just about money. We're putting our finger on that, but it's bigger than that. It's about trust and obedience. The key is to take a next right step. And here's what I have found over and over again. People who trust God, who are willing to step out, man, He provides. He doesn't always provide in the way that you would expect, but He provides. There is something supernatural that happens when we trust God with our stuff, when we trust Him with our resources, with our money. I can't explain it, but somehow 90% with God's blessing goes farther than 100% without it. Try me. Test me in this. See if I won't pour out a blessing so big you can't even receive it. But the key is to take a next right step, and we're going to give you an opportunity to commit to do that today. In just a second, in fact, they can start doing it now. The ushers are going to come around with these cards. And I want to talk through these a little bit for you. I want you to hear me. What you see on here and what you read on here, this is a private commitment. This is something between you and you're not committing to me, even though it has Canton First Church of the Nazarene on here. If you need to cover that up, you're not even committing to Canton First Church of the Nazarene. This is a commitment that you are making between you and God. And there's a few things on here, and you'll notice when you get these, there's two sections. I'll explain that in just a second. And you might have to work it back and forth to get it apart. But there's a few options on here. The first is, I commit to give regularly. Maybe this is something that you've never done, but you know that God is calling you. I just need to do something on a regular basis. I feel like He's calling me to take this step. The second choice is, I commit to give 10%. If that first choice, you're thinking 2%, 3%, yeah, I just need to give something, maybe your step is to commit to giving that 10%, to setting that aside. Maybe you're somebody who's already doing that, and you think, I really feel like God might be calling me to step beyond that, to increase, to give beyond 10%. Maybe you have a certain percentage or number that is already in your mind that you've been thinking about. I commit to increase my giving by this much. This one's an interesting one, the next one. I commit to set up recurring giving. As I said, we use online giving through a service called Tithely. They are a third-party service. We do not handle any of the transactions. They are processed, and there's deposits made when you give. But I know there are a few people, they utilize this service to just set up recurring giving. And for some of you, you might be thinking, well, it just seems like it takes all the effort out of it. In a sense, yes, I guess, and this might not be for you, but for others, you're like, you know what? This is my intentional step that I need to take. If I don't do this, I won't put this aside. If I just set this to go ahead and take this money and give it at a certain point, then you're still giving it. The motive behind it is still the same. You might just not be doing it the way somebody else might be. And if you need help with that, we can help you do that. There's one that says other. We've said that sometimes our growth, our next right step, has nothing to do with numbers or amounts. We've talked about motives. We talked about giving cheerfully. Maybe your next step that you need to commit to is just saying to God, you know what, I do this, but I just do not feel like my heart is in it. I need you to do a work in me, to shape my heart, to make me, help me understand more and more why this is something you called me to do. Maybe that's your next right step. Or maybe you don't have any idea what your next right step is. Well, we've got one for you too. I commit to praying about my next right step. And then the bottom says, there's two choices. I commit to taking a next right step in my giving, and this is a first-time commitment. Here's what I would like you to do. We're going to pray in just a second. And as we do, I just want you to just prayerfully consider. And this might not be something that you're ready to respond to today. That's okay. If you need to take it home, pray. Maybe you and your spouse, you and you need to pray about this. That's fine. We're going to pray. And as you mark this, if you make a commitment to take that next right step, I'd like you to mark that circle. If this is the first time that you have taken a step of faith, I want you to mark that too. And here's what I want. Oh, I don't want you to rip them weird. I do not want to see this part of your card. Again, this is between you and God. I want you to take this home. I want you to put it in a place where you will see it often, where you will be reminded of the commitment that you made to God. But what I do want are these, because we want to celebrate. We want to pray for you, especially for those of you, this is the first, because I know this is a huge, for some, this is a huge step of faith to commit to this. So as you do that, if it's today or next week, whenever it is, that bottom portion, just drop it in the black boxes on the walls, and we'll collect those, and we'll be praying, we'll celebrate, we'll keep you updated. Hey, man, you guys really responded. In knowing this church, you guys hear the voice of God, and you obey. And so that's what I'm trusting. Again, this is not a commitment you're making to me. If you could erase my face and put somebody else up here and hear that, this is a commitment between you and your generous, loving Heavenly Father. Amen? Just pray with me.